All right, it's time for Industry Night, our new segment that focuses on the world of food and hospitality. Last week, we talked craft beer. Before that, we talked about takeout windows and ghost restaurants. Tonight, we talked Danish cuisine. Actually, American cuisine with Danish influences. I think I got that right. I'm talking about the critically acclaimed new West Loop restaurant, Elska. Elska is the restaurant run by husband and wife team of Dana and Anna, David and Anna Posey. Both came from the one-off hospitality crew, where David was a chef at Blackbird and Anna a pastry chef at Publican. And they brought their talents west, well, a few blocks west, to give us dishes like grilled sepia with hearth-roasted turnip, watercress, and smoked onion yogurt, and sunflower seed parfait with sour honey, licorice, and bee pollen. All right, that's what I'm talking about. David and Anna Posey, welcome to The Download. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this restaurant. Where does it come from? Where does Elska, who's got the Danish influence in their life?
So my mom is Danish. She lived there for 31 years. And I, as a child growing up, would constantly go back to visit family and just kind of fell in love with the country and, you know, the feelings and everything surrounding it. So, you know, we figured might as well open a restaurant that we love, which is Danish culture.
Mm-hmm. I think we both love like the simplicity of Danish culture and not just the food, but the art and design and everything. Very minimalist, and everything has a purpose, which we felt naturally translated to our food. So,
what are the staples of Danish cuisine?
You know, traditionally, it's kind of bland. There's not much spice or not much going on. A lot of potatoes, a lot of pork. Very, very simple cuisine. So I think, you know, the restaurant aesthetically is very Danish with the clean modern lines and everything. But food-wise, it's definitely more American. We kind of take from the simple aspects of, you know, paring everything down and editing. Editing is a kind of a big part of what we do. And, you know, not having anything that's not necessary on the plate. So, food-wise, it's definitely not very Danish, but
in a way too, though. We've talked to some Danish people about, like, for example, rhubarb. Why is rhubarb such an important thing? Where in the U.S. we put strawberry and rhubarb with things, we always mix it with something. And when we've traveled to Denmark, it's just like they just focus on this one flavor of rhubarb, and they just have such an appreciation for it because the season is so short. And I think that kind of translates to Midwestern culture, and we have these short seasons, and I think we should naturally appreciate the food we have and or the short seasons we have and showcase that one flavor. And so I think we're trying to do that with our food. I think your food is very focused, and I think that shows.
Oh, that's so nice, guys. All right. So, I mean, both of you come from one-off hospitality, great company that with restaurants here in Chicago, Publican, Avec, Blackbird, other places as well. You know, when you are there and you talk about appreciating the food, but you also talk about learning to not to simplify, but the way you just said it, the idea that get rid of everything that doesn't need to be there. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you learn from being in other kitchens, as being a chef or being a pastry chef, that you learn about what is an acceptable dish when it comes to trying to develop a palate that's beyond just trying to be simple with the food?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing one-off taught both of us was make it taste really good. And so I think that's like the forefront. I think that's the one thing that Paul Kahn taught both of us. Mm-hmm. But as far as stripping things back,
I think that's just something that, like, my daily outfit is black jeans and a black shirt. That's it. I'm very, like, I don't like a lot of things, you know. So, like, even at Blackbird, I mean, it's an amazing restaurant, and, you know, there was a lot of stuff, and I was much younger when I worked there, and so I thought that, like, every dish had to have a different type of plate or bowl. So you couldn't repeat the same thing. And then even just as I kind of grew up working there, you know, I got rid of all of it, and I got one type of bowl and one type of plate. So, you know, and instead of having all this flair, which is great for certain restaurants, and, you know, it fits certain things. And even at Elska, we have tons of different plates and tons of different colors. Mm-hmm. But I think working there and seeing what went into a restaurant and everything that you have to deal with, like, anytime a plate breaks, you got to buy a new plate. So if you, you know, break so many plates and you only have four of one type of plate, then you gotta start looking at new stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think I just grew up there realizing that I just don't want to deal with it.
It is kind of like growing up,
because you know,
is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as you get older, you're like, I don't really need, you know what you like. Same thing with food. I think everything just gets stripped back, and I think we've both grown up a lot. And mm-hmm. We've traveled a lot and seen what we like and what we don't like.
Well, for both of you to have your own restaurant, to go in and open your own space as opposed to being a pastry chef or a chef for somebody else. Talk about that experience. I mean, jumping off that cliff to open your own spot is one thing, but maintaining it and continuing it every single night, finding the consistency. Talk about that experience. What draws you to it?
It's very scary.
Before you open, and when you're open, you're constantly dealing with like self-doubt, and especially before you open, you're like, what am I doing? Yeah. It's just a scary thing to do. But I mean, not to be corny, but we're so lucky to be in it together. And we've had friends who've opened by themselves and we're like, how do you do that?
But yeah. What are the challenges? Tell us. I mean, I've never opened a restaurant. What are the challenges of opening a restaurant?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of like behind the scenes. I mean, dealing with the city and I don't know.
Well, I think working for one off and having, you know, Paul and Donnie and I worked with Eddie and Ricky, just having the experience of them showing you what is needed. Like, you need to get your costs right. You need to make sure that everything's in place, which luckily, you know, they're such successful people. And I think they taught me really well that mm-hmm. now that kind of comes as second nature, costing recipes and, you know, calling purveyors and trying to get the best price for the best product available that you can afford. So that is fortunately, you know, been something that we haven't had to focus on. So now it's just making sure the consistency is there and people that come back, you know, we've had people come back, I think, 6 times to the restaurant, and we've only been open for less than 6 months. So mm-hmm. that's great. And making sure that every time they come back, they have the same experience, if or not better. You know, if you always got to move up. If you go back, that's a problem.
David and Anna Posey, my guests in studio, their restaurant Elska in the West Loop on Randolph, getting great reviews. We're talking about what it takes to open that restaurant, but also just about, you know, you guys are a little bit of rock stars in the way that you both worked at tremendous places here in Chicago, places in the culinary scene that people are lining up to get into. The idea of moving out on your own, to say to that, okay, that's one thing, to be a part of a successful business and both of you working for different restaurants. Talk about that. You kind of mentioned, Anna, the idea that that is scary. There is self-doubt involved, but you've mm-hmm. been around the block. You know what to expect when people are coming to eat your food.
Yeah, and I think more so David has, and I was kind of the kid who, growing up, I never really knew what I wanted to do. I was always drawn to art, and I knew I just wanted to do something creative. But I've never had, like, a 5-year plan. I have no idea what I was doing with my life. My parents were very concerned for me. And then I just sort of, like, naturally drifted towards pastry. It's something I've always done. I met David, who's known since he was 14 that he wanted to own his own restaurant.
Yeah, we're totally opposite. So, yeah. I knew exactly what I wanted from 15 years though.
Yeah, like in high school, no offense, but you were failing almost. But but he was also
terrible in school.
Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Posey. But yeah. But he, at the same time, while he was failing out of high school almost, he graduated, but he was working in a kitchen as a dishwasher, and he just always knew that he wanted to do that. So when I met him, it was kind of this idea. I mean, we didn't talk about it at first, obviously. We were still dating and getting to know each other. But definitely once we were married, it became, when are we going to start really thinking about our restaurant? It was very natural. It just felt like something we wanted to do.
When you were a dishwasher, did you recognize, I mean, you said you knew from the get-go. Were you dishwashing to move up? Were you ambitious in the way that you were like, okay, I'm going to do this job because I want to be a head chef and I want to open up my own restaurant? Was there, I mean, as much as Anna just said she didn't have a plan, did you have a mega plan?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, so my mom taught me how to, I think, make scrambled eggs or an omelet or something when I was 12, and I just loved it. And then when I wasn't doing so great in high school, she saw this in to work at a restaurant, and it was part-time dishwasher, part-time like salad station. So I really wanted to work the salad station and just did the dishwashing so I could work salad more. And, you know, I always tried, you know, getting better and better. And I just fell in love with the intensity of the kitchen and the camaraderie and, you know, getting off of school at 3 o'clock and then, you know, getting home at 1 in the morning and then like just the push of it. I was always drawn to, and I just like, I never thought of it as a push. I just loved it.
What from that experience? And I always ask people, you know, we just had talking to Pete in the big table the hour before. What about that experience do you still rely on today? I mean, what is it from that experience of dishwashing and working the salad station that teaches you or that you're still using in the kitchen mm-hmm. right now?
I think it's not one thing in particular. It's just the push to always be as good as you possibly can. Like the people that I worked for, Greg and Laurel, who I, you know, think of as mentors, they were always constantly questioning everything. It was their first restaurant and they were new to it. I mean, they grew up in restaurant families and it's just thinking about things that they could do to make the restaurant the best it could possibly be with what they had is kind of what I, you know, the thing that I constantly think of with Elska.
Anna, let me ask you about creativity and art. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is evident on the plate. I mean, when I see your stuff, and I just went to the restaurant on Sunday, it's amazing to me, not just the taste and the flavor combinations, but the way it's presented, the way that it looks and it feels, and even the way it's deconstructed and then constructed again.
Yeah.
You know, how much of it is food and mm-hmm. how much of it is art in your mind?
Yeah, you know, he kind of makes fun of me in a way that we kind of think of plates opposite. Where we both think of flavors as being very important, but I think about plating first because I'm very drawn to visual things. And it is funny how you can rearrange something and have a totally different effect on somebody visually and how it affects how they eat it and how they enjoy it. But I think it'll be always natural for me to be a little more visual with the pieces or the plates themselves. And it's kind of like what we were saying. You grow up, and when I first started, I was putting all these different elements on the plates just to be pretty. And now I'm trying to still make them beautiful, but scaled back and like questioning, why does this go on the plate? Hmm. How does this affect the dish? And how somebody eats something is very important. But it is what David was saying. It's that challenge that I found in art, in painting, how you can do this one craft your entire life, and you will never be satisfied with it in a certain way, or you'll always be challenging yourself. I think food for us is that same challenge. And
yeah, so it's as much as it's interchangeable, meaning, you know, there's a design element in the restaurant mm-hmm. that some of your work is on the walls or in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, you're working in food. It is interchangeable, but at the same time, I mean, you see yourself continuing to be creative in culinary design as opposed to saying, you know, tomorrow I can be an artist or get rid of food entirely.
I think so. I think for me, art in the whole art world was a little intimidating for me. I don't think I could ever be a painter putting stuff on a gallery wall. I'm just too hypercritical in that sense. But I think food gives me that sort of like creative pleasure, I guess. And it, maybe one day I can somehow think of a way to incorporate my art a little bit more. But for now, it's, yeah, in the wallpaper and the menus. But the restaurant's pretty time-consuming at the moment. So.
Well, I mean, it's amazing to me because, as I said at the beginning, sunflower seed parfait, sour honey, licorice, bee pollen. Where did, I mean, I'll ask the curious sort of ignorant question of a talk show host, but is that a certain flavor palette? Like where do you find those to make one thing that tastes the way it does? Cause yeah. I from the untrained eye would be like, nope, 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 nope. Right. So how do you, I mean, because it's amazing Gosh, yeah. that stuff comes together. Where does that talent come from to say that those ingredients today are going to make a great dessert?
It doesn't always end up like that. There's a lot of times I'm like, this will be so good. And you try it and everything just falls flat. Like I did a sweet potato chocolate dish when we were first testing and you just tasted, it just was like bland. But then I think, you know, sunflower is a lot like a nut. So I treated it like a nut where you can caramelize it and make it into like a caramelized, like a praline.
Mm-hmm.
So I took sunflowers and used them like that. And then naturally bee pollen and honey go together. But I really love working with Paul Kahn at One Off, you deal a lot with vinegars, and I was a line cook for a while, and really seeing how dessert really is accentuated by vinegars or alcohol, things that kind of bring out sugar. So fermenting honey and mixing that with honey vinegar was a natural movement. And then licorice is funny because it's called licorice. It means actually sweet root. So in certain applications, it can be very like that dark black licorice that don't like, or it can be more like, in this dessert, it's more subtle and just acts like you get this sort of aftertaste on the back of your tongue that leaves this lingering sweetness. So yeah, for me, it went together, and David loved it. So I was, yes.
How important is it for you to love the food that you put out? And I guess I mean from each one of you. I mean, you taste David's food or David. I mean, if you're really into the sepia, you think it's great, it's amazing. And Anna's like, eh, it's okay. Does that have an impact, or do you stand your ground like, you know what? No, I'm definitely going with the sepia.
If she doesn't like a dish that I put up, then it doesn't go on the menu until she likes it.
And vice versa, yeah.
So it's, you know, it's very important. It's, you know, it's great for me to have the support that she really loves everything on the menu. And you know, I see the same thing every day, all day long, and it's hard to stay excited about stuff. So for her to be super supportive and really love what I'm doing, and then vice versa, I think it's, you know, it's motivation.
The restaurant industry and business is a very driven business. I mean, you have to get up early. If you're owning a restaurant, we've had a lot of different chefs in who talk about running a small business. It's 24/7. It is an unforgiving industry. I could not imagine doing it with my spouse. And you're right. I mean, so talk about that. Talk about the pros and cons of working as in a relationship in that high stress environment.
Yeah.
So,
and you can be honest.
I think the funniest thing that has happened to us so far is, you know, we're always with each other. Even if we're not together directly, we're always in the same building. And I love playing golf. So I think in February, remember that one weekend where it was warm, it was like 70 degrees in February. And I asked Anna if it would be cool if I went out and played golf with one of my friends. And she started laughing and crying. She was so happy to get some time alone.
I got like slap happy.
So, you know, to say we're around each other a lot is kind of an understatement.
No, but you know, you're lucky when it does work for us. And I know it wouldn't work for everybody, but we know when to cut it off. Like one of us will be like, let's just not talk about work. But it does feel like you're at work when you're at work, and we make time on our own to be together. It's like, it's funny on our days off. It's like, hey, let's hang out and have a date night. We still want to be around each other. But I do like my alone time. So.
Well, we're glad to give you date night tonight here on the download. David and Anna Posey, the chef restaurateurs of Elska. Of course, it's a great restaurant over on Randolph in the West Loop, Randolph and Ada. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about the restaurant and about your careers in food. And we look forward to having you guys again.
Thank you. Pleasure. Thanks. Thank you.